T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan Radakovich, the Clemson athletic director, went on SiriusXM today and talked about the decision to play the game on Saturday. You guys remind me, and we'll get to that this hour, on what he had to say about that decision, why they're playing when nobody else in South Carolina has decided to play a home game in the state. All right, welcome back into the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Right now, it's time for 3 questions at 3. Lonzo, question number 1, please.
All right, how important is it that South Carolina make up this weekend's canceled game with Marshall?
Richmond, does it matter?
I think it does matter.
Why?
Because of the goal of trying to get to this, at least the same number of wins as last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been that talk of, and I do believe that there is a real good possibility of getting to that 9 and maybe even 10 win regular season. Ooh. And yes, I know that's a little bit of a stretch.
But you seen the Georgia game?
Yeah, I did. I understand that. Georgia's good, though. And I think that to get to that 10 game, you have to have this game against Marshall. And I know, hey, Marshall's not just a rollover game necessarily, but this is a game that South Carolina should win. They've got more talent, and I think it would be a good opportunity for South Carolina to get another win, just to continue building the momentum with Will Muschamp.
Lonzo?
You know what? I'm going to take a different angle on this. I think it's important to the players, especially, I mean, if you're a senior, you want to play as many games as you possibly can, and there's no guarantee you're going to play in the NFL. This may be it for you. So you want to play as many as you can, so you're taking a game away from someone. You're taking a memory away from them. You're more than likely taking a win away from them, and I think they need to play the game just for that, just for the player's sake.
All right. I'll agree, too, that they should do everything they can to get the game in. And I think they will. They have an off week on October 20th. There are a bunch of other schools that have off weeks October 20th, so they could squeeze one of those teams in there. Or the other option is the weekend of the SEC championship game.
Well, no, yours automatically ruling out.
I feel bad for saying it, but that's a good option. I mean, here's the thing, though. You're not going to know for sure on October 20th that you're not in the SEC championship game or leading into October 20th. So how do you make that choice? Do you say?
Well, you're already saying that they should.
Well, I am, but they're not going to say that.
Well, of course not.
And they could play Marshall then. They could play Marshall that first weekend in the, after the Clemson game because, you know Marshall's available too. So I think they'll do that. And I think it matters because, you know, you're talking the difference between, I don't see 10 wins. You play 13 games and not get 10 wins. But I think that makes the difference between either 7 or 8 or 8 and 9, 8 or 9 wins. And that's big when
that
you look
big
back on this season.
Yeah, and more realistic is that 8 or 9,
yeah,
in all reality.
Yeah. I think you want to do that. And this is an opportunity to do that. Now, the thing they could do, there are some teams that are pretty good that don't play on October 20th. They could schedule somebody there and lose. And I'm not sure that's a great idea. But we'll see what their options are. I think they'll do everything they can to get it in. And I think they should. All right. Number 2, Lonzo.
Is it a done deal now? Will the Braves bring back manager Brian Snicker? Here's the thing. Look at what the guy's done. I mean, you can say it's the players that did it, but he's running the thing while they're doing it, and they're playing above expectations. Even if they fall apart now, there's no reason to not bring this guy back.
Well, except that last sentence. If they fall apart now, there might be.
If they fell apart now, wouldn't they still be way above what you expected them to do at the beginning of the season?
You never want to see anybody collapse. They got to bring him back. Look, this guy might be the manager of the year in the National League. He's got a great case for it.
He does. They are second in wins in the National League.
Yeah, I mean, who are you going to give it to? The Cubs guy? Who are you going to give it to that's done better than and more surprising than Brian Snicker with the Braves? So you have to do that. I think they will do that right now. They have a 7.5-game lead over the Phillies because the Phillies – keep losing. And, you know, I was kind of on the fence about this as we kind of plotted through this season, and the Braves are right around first place, but, you know, not necessarily pulling away at all. Now they pulled away. Now they are 82-64, 18 games above 500. We're debating them being 500 teams. They're 18 games above 500. They're going to win the East. I don't think it matters what they do in the postseason. I think this is
enough. I don't
think
so either.
You got to bring them back.
I agree. So, yeah, I'm jumping the gun here and just joining the bandwagon with you there that you got to bring this guy back. I mean, just what you have stated, and there's a chance that the Braves could actually get to 90 wins and win the division, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't bring a guy back, that would be insane.
There's nothing, you know, unless something comes up, you know, off field or whatever, or like something behind the scenes that there's a problem. Everything I hear is that the players like him. There's no problem there. Good clubhouse guy. And very successful.
Exactly.
Very successful. What would he have had to do to be brought back if this is not enough? I guess that would be my question.
Great point.
So you got to bring him back. All right, number three.
It was announced today that Clemson opens ACC basketball play January 5th at Duke. Give us your four-month in advance prediction. Can Brad Brownell's Tigers make it interesting against Zion Williamson and the Blue Devils on the road?
Yeah, this will be, they just announced the schedule today, the ACC Conference scheduled games in Clemson-Duke, January 5th. Will either be a 2 p.m. or an 8 p.m. tip. I would imagine they'll make this the primetime game at 8 p.m. Clemson should go into the season ranked. Duke obviously will go into the season ranked. So I think this is a good matchup, a good marquee matchup. The intrigue is there because Zion Williamson considered Clemson, and that's the closest major college to his home area of Spartanburg. So you have that little side story there. How interesting they'll make it at Cameron. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Clemson goes up there and beats them. I don't think they do that. But Clemson's going to be loaded this year. They're going to be a top 25 team going into the season. So, you know, I think they can keep it within about 10 or 12 points and make it an entertaining game that they just don't quite have enough to pull out. Richmond, what do you think? Good game?
For the first half, and then Duke will pull away just because they have more talent. And I know Brad Brownell will have his team ready and have them in position to play. I mean, they're going to be playing a lot of tough defense. I understand that. Good team defense, and that's a sign of Brad Brownell's teams. He's always been able to do that. Last time at Duke, though, I mean, it was a two-point game, 64-62, and Shelton Mitchell had a chance for a three-pointer at the end that would have won the game, and he missed it. And there's questionable if he was fouled or not as he was driving to end up taking the shot. So it's not out of the realm that Clemson can keep it tight, but I just think that Duke has just too much talent, and I don't even care that they're freshmen. They're just too talented for Clemson to be able to hang on at Cameron Indoor. Now, at Clemson, might be a different story.
Clemson could be top 15 going
into
this
game. Oh, yes. No, they're exactly. And that's, if you look at the schedule, that's going to be a tough stretch for Clemson, a very important stretch to start the ACC. It's at Duke, at Syracuse, and then Virginia at home. That's a tough three-game stretch for the Tigers to start. So it's going to be imperative for Clemson to get out of the gates quickly with the ACC. It's just going to be a tough one to start on the road at Duke.
Alonzo, what do you think?
All right, on paper, this has the potential to be one of the greatest teams that Duke has ever put on the court. They haven't played yet. We know what Zion Williamson can do. And Clemson, really good last year. I don't think they stand a chance against this team. I think it's not even going to be close in the first half. This team is going to be really, really good.
So young, though. They're freshmen. Clemson. It's all freshmen.
It's still basketball, man. There's not going to be any nerves. I mean, with some players coming in, you think, okay, first time playing, not first time, but playing in such a big place and everything. But Zion Williamson has had so much media attention. I mean, that's not going to bother him. So him alone, I think, is enough to beat Clemson.
All right.
And this is in January.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they'll
have already played a
month and
a half.
Yeah, they won't be, quote-unquote, freshmen at that point.
Well, yeah. True. They won't have played the conference lineup, though. I like the fact that it's a good conference opener there. Some people say, you know, we're going to stick it to Clemson here and make them go up there and play Zion Williamson, you know, to start the ACC
season.
I could
see that.
You think they're doing that? Think that's a little ACC manipulation there to have them do that?
Everybody is always looking for any type of angle to create more excitement.
Yeah, well, put some of your bias in there. It's okay. Whether you have any or not, you should. Mm-hmm. It's your team. You got to believe that's what they're doing. Come on.
No, no, no. That's not bias. I'm looking at it from a sports executive for a TV program and a conference program. If there's any type of storyline, you want to expose it and you want to exploit it. And that's okay. I get it.
Mm-hmm. You can't play that game at 2 o'clock. You got to play it at 8.
You got to play it at 8, yes.
Got to be prime time.
Agreed.
Hopefully
100%.
That decision's coming a little bit later. All right, 844-477-3776. The Health Air text line, 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. When we come back, we'll talk a little baseball with Diddy, Mike Venditti, blogger and podcaster from ESPNUpstate.com. That's when we return. Stay with us here. Hour number three of The Huddle rolls on from ESPN Upstate. Thursday, The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Don't forget Burns Spartanburg High School football tonight. That's right, Thursday night. 6:30 airtime, 7 o'clock kickoff from Wofford College, Burns and Spartanburg. If you want to hear the Ravens and the Bengals, that's Thursday night NFL. 8 o'clock on 106.3 FM. We had to move it down the dial as everybody's moving around for high schools this week. Mike Venditti in here, Diddy33 on Twitter. Diddy, we did a Twitter poll.
Mm-hmm.
54% of our audience who voted, a bunch of people, over 200 people voted, said Clemson shouldn't play this week.
Yeah. I mean.
What do you think?
You just hope that they're right, I guess, is all you can really say. It's not what I hate is that it's become this like rivalry thing. How is this part of the rivalry?
No, yeah, I know. Well,
I would be. I would think South Carolina was being just as stupid if they were doing this. There's obviously something amiss if everybody else is canceling. If you're moving football games from Friday to Thursday for high school in the area, then maybe you should start thinking about maybe Saturday as an off limits kind of day. But I mean, they could get lucky, could be fine. The issue is that there's still going to be thunderstorms in our area through that time. We're going to be getting the outer bands of this thing that'll probably be maybe a tropical storm by then. But tropical storms are bad in this region. We're not a coastal city. Mm. We don't get the hurricanes. But tropical storms hitting up here can cause damage and cause problems. And the issues you see with these football games is that you need a huge amount of emergency resources.
Yeah.
To secure and maintain what's going on at these football games, and that's less people out there to help anything that could happen if this does take a turn for the worse for our area.
Yeah. Weather's probably going to be fine at Clemson, but how many troopers and all that are going to be up here for that when they could be somewhere else? But anyway, we'll get to what Dan Radakovich had to say about that in a serious interview today. A little bit later on in the hour before we get out of here. South Carolina blown out by the Georgia Bulldogs. Yep. I know you're a Gamecock fan. You're panicked. Season's over, right?
No, it's over. Pack it in. Fire Muschamp, right?
Yeah, somebody actually said that. Somebody actually said that. Fire Muschamp.
Unbelievable. No, it stunk. You know, obviously, as a fan, you're not happy when you see that kind of a result. But what did I tell you? I was like, if they're going to win this thing, they're going to have to execute defensively, keep this thing low scoring. As soon as they started letting Georgia run, it was over. And I said, they're either going to win 24-20 or lose 45-10. And I wasn't that far off on that final score on the other way. And what happened was the better team just kind of wore them down. They looked like they had a chance to be in this thing. The blown opportunity after the touchdown, then interception that they had with, you know, the ball in plus territory, not being able to get down and score on that was easily the biggest turning point for the Gamecocks, because that was it. You know, then you let Georgia come back, score. They take the, you know, lead into halftime, come out and just pop them in the mouth, and it's all over. So it's disappointing to see. It's frustrating to see, but it's just, you know, it's not something that you can't be too shocked about. Like, it's not something you shouldn't have at least expected in the back of your mind to happen, for the fact that this is a national championship contending football team and South Carolina's not, and you shouldn't have expected them to be. You could have hoped the scenario played out correctly for them to have been able to sneak up and beat them in a way that App State snuck up and beat Michigan one time. Not in a way that this team's ready to win it all. Even if they had won that football game, if you thought they were going to win a national championship this year, you're bonkers. You've lost your mind. So that's just proof positive that this team does not belong on the same field as far as competitiveness and skill level with a Georgia, probably not a Clemson as well at the end of the season. But I don't know, you know, if they can't still compete in almost every other game. You have Texas A&M's tough, Ole Miss is tough. There's a lot of winnable football games. There's still bowl on the line. There's still an ability, in my opinion, to win 7, 8, 9 games possibly, and you can't be upset with that. So it's week 2. the snapshot reactions in football are probably the worst snapshot reactions in all of sports. NFL's already over. We know who's going to lose and win, and that from 1 week as well. So people just need to take a breath, let them come out. We get another week off with the Hurricane. Next week they come out, Vandy, then Kentucky.
Yeah.
They can beat Vandy, get on the right track, and make this thing kind of turn back around. Forget Georgia. Put them in the rearview.
Don't say they can beat Kentucky because they haven't.
Well, I'm holding off on that. I'm a little nervous.
Don't you feel better, though, as a Gamecock fan, that it's more the defense that needs to be fixed, and you've got Muschamp. You have a little more confidence that he can fix that during the course of this season?
Yeah, and I mean, it always plays on both sides. The offense needs to be able to maintain possession long enough to get the defense some rest, and obviously as that game wore on, they did not, and it didn't make it any better that when Georgia started getting that ball rolling, that South Carolina's defense was dead. They were done. They had no energy left, and Georgia just took full advantage of it. So the offense does need to keep going. I question the play calling and a lot of fronts in that game, but you did have a first-year offensive coordinator calling a huge, huge game, maybe some butterflies, maybe some mistakes in deciding what plays to call. They shouldn't have abandoned the run. I thought Tyson was running pretty well once they started giving him the ball because obviously Dowdle didn't have it on Saturday. Should have kept running the football trying to just maintain possession, and they didn't, and just played that game right into Georgia's hands and for the blowout. It's kind of disappointing, but yeah, I think the offense at least has the potential to be good and almost great down the stretch, especially with the teams they're going to play.
Do you think it's important that they make up this weekend's missed game somehow and play 12 games?
Not as much for them. I mean, that's why I kind of understand Clemson trying to make sure they get this thing in. Clemson's in a national championship hunt. South Carolina's not. So if you play 11 games, whatever. The big issue will be if they can't get to that 6th, 7th win. Then you look back and say, oh, man, we should have tried to get that 12th game in a bowl game.
6 wins, yeah. That stinks.
If it falls apart, it falls apart. But, yeah, I think they have 2 bye weeks. They can try to make it up, and if they can't, oh, well.
Yeah. All right, baseball. Boston's 100. You
yes.
got there, and you have, what, 16 left?
16 to go.
Yeah, so you think they get to, like, 110? They should get to 110.
I would like for them to get to 110. They do have 6 against the Yankees, and the Yankees are fighting to get that home field for the wild card now with the A's right on their tail, only 1 back. So it's going to be interesting to see how those 2 series kind of roll out because of the fact that the Yankees will have a lot more to play for. The Red Sox, I think their number is 6 now, 5 maybe, their magic number to clinch the division. So they might clinch this division in time for those 2 series, or at least be on the cusp of it for those 2 series and not have anything to play for really because they also have the same almost, 8 games up on the Houston Astros for home field advantage through the playoffs. So it's going to be, those series are where it'll come down to see if they can get to 110. Right now, I'm just absolutely just stoked. I mean, they haven't won 100 games since, 1946, I think it was. Teddy Ballgame, the old Splendid Splinter, playing baseball for the Red Sox last time they had triple digits. So pretty huge for the first time in my life. My team won 100 baseball games, so I'm pretty happy about that.
How many can Baltimore lose? They've lost 104 already.
I know. It's really disappointing. I was like, can we win more than they lose just to feel even better? I don't think so. That's pretty record-setting. And, hey, like they say, if you're not going to win 100, lose 100. Get that draft pick.
Yeah. But now is the situation with winning 100 games, obviously World Series or bust now? The season is all for naught if you don't win the World Series?
Well, in a city like Boston, even when they weren't winning World Series, it was World Series or bust anyway. So, I mean, it's going to be a fallout if they lose or they fizzle in the playoffs. The good thing is it is Alex Cora's first season, so no one's going to start jumping on this fire the manager garbage like we see far too often these days. But it'll be disappointing to see a team be so dominant all throughout the season and fall. But you do see that. That's what happens. The best record in the history of baseball was the 2001 Seattle Mariners. They lost in the first round to the Yankees. Yeah. So it happens. It's disappointing. You want this kind of a team to win a World Series because obviously if you're a fan of the team, it's one of the most fun teams that you've gotten to watch in a while. You know, you had the 2013 team was fun since then, really nothing until this. So you want to see that kind of happen again. It's just going to be a really, really tough uphill road. I mean, the Indians might have the worst record in the American League as far as playoff teams, but they're an insanely good team. And if they get Donaldson in that lineup, there's trouble. The Yankees still insane. If they get Judge back in that lineup and Giancarlo gets hot, they're almost unbeatable too, possibly. So anything can happen coming into this thing. The A's insane as well, just winning games and you don't even know maybe 3 guys on their roster. So it's just kind of fun coming into the playoffs, but it can't be World Series a bust as far as, giving up and losing hope. It just has to be hopefulness, I guess. Not quite end of days.
All right. September 13th, the Braves are up 7.5 games over the Phillies. They're cruising to the National League. Should Atlanta go ahead and just announce an extension for Snicker that they're bringing him back?
Well, yeah. You should definitely
just go ahead and do it now, though?
Pay the guy. Why not? Give them some hope for the play. Maybe that'll unify them even more going into the postseason.
Yeah, I think that could be a little boost. Look, hey, we're so impressed with this guy. Yeah. Why wait? What are you waiting for? Yeah. What does he have to do if winning 82 games by September 13th won't do it?
I mean, maybe just win the division, get back in the playoffs. Maybe that's what they're waiting for.
Yeah,
and they're in basically already, but maybe get that clinch, that first clinch back for, what, how many years, 4 or 5 years since they've clinched anything. So it'll be a big moment for them to do that. And, you know, you guys seem to be a little bit nervous the last 2 weeks about this. And I think I was right. I think they're running away with the division. Right. Philly's just not as good as their record.
I haven't been nervous at all. It's all Greg. He's the one. I'm the one saying
Childress
early
last
on.
Week too, yeah.
The Braves were not. Lighten it up. It's just the Phillies collapsed.
Phillies
made
fell
it
apart.
Easy.
And the Braves did what they had to do. They kept at least winning some ball games to extend that lead and not, losing the same nights as the Phillies and keeping the thing close, which was happening a couple weeks before these last 2 weeks. So, yeah, they've got that division locked. They're going to win it. And yeah, he needs to get paid. They need him locked in because he's found some gold there with him in that roster.
He's figured it out. David Wright coming back with the Mets for the final homestand. And that should be it for him, says his body won't let him play any further. It's kind of sad. He was really good for a while.
It's very sad. It's Captain America. I mean, the guy was going to become this outward face of baseball and just completely fell apart physically. And you hate to see that happen with guys. I mean, we look at quite possibly the greatest player in baseball history right over here in the corner behind Lonzo. And, you know, he doesn't have any records because he missed so much time with his body failing him, Ken Griffey Jr. So it's disappointing when you see some guys that you know are all-time greats. You know they're going to be people you talk about, and then you just don't get to see that full potential because of the injuries. But I like that the Mets are bringing it back. Smart for them to bring it back, because obviously you can't call up Tebow to sell tickets, and that team's not selling tickets. So David Wright will at least put some butts in the seats up there at Citi Field.
All right. Do you have any hurricane stories from your time in Florida?
No, I always miss them.
Did you miss them?
Yeah, they always like kind of came and went when I wasn't around. I'd be home. I was home a week before Wilma, and then came back up here for college, and then it hit Katrina when it hit Florida the first time before getting in the Gulf.
Right.
Hit about a week or two after I came back to school up here. I just keep missing them. This is the closest I think I've had.
We can send you to Myrtle Beach today.
Yeah, no, I'm good. Right. I got a friend down there sharing videos. I'm good. I'll stay here.
Thank you, Diddy.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Mike Venditti at Diddy33 and on our website, ESPNUpstate.com. 844-477-3776. Break time. When we come back, Sean McVay. Does he really have a photographic memory? You be the judge. That's next in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Whatever they're paying the Weather Channel reporter in Moorhead City is not enough. They got him back out there now. He's been out there all afternoon standing in a hurricane.
You know, we listened to it a little bit while you were out of the room, and he was saying, I think 28 hours from now, it's going to be like this. And I'm thinking,
they're
going to
keep him
there. Is he
going to
be there for the entire 28 hours?
I mean, don't they have other people that could stand out in the storm somewhere else? I don't know, but
they can only afford to insure this one guy. So
he's the dude, and he's been bracing against the wind for
Cantori,
a couple hours,
man.
Now. Yeah, I know. Where is Jim? Where is Jim? He should be the guy out there right
Maybe
now.
Maybe he's retired.
Oh, Cantor, he's in the eye of the hurricane right now.
Yeah, he's the storm.
Oh, yes.
He's hiding it out in a rowboat.
Yeah, this is chump
he doesn't
change
show
for him.
Up until it's real time.
Exactly.
All right. So anyway, the storm's still right off the Wilmington coast, 105-mile-per-hour top wind speeds, Category 2, and moving west-northwest at 10 miles per hour. So west-northwest, I guess we're still waiting for the turn that we're expecting it to take and head more into South Carolina, and we will see if that happens. Sean McVay, coach of the Rams, here's the story on Deadspin. He's doing his spooky brain thing again. He's done this before. Sean McVay is showing off his memory of old football plays. They're saying, see if you believe it, that he can remember basically any play he ever called over his career. And here's a piece of the segment that was posted on Bleacher Report and other places today of Sean McVay, the Rams head coach, proving that. Listen in.
Week 12, Saints at Rams, 4:29 in the second quarter, 2nd and 7 on the Saints 7. What happens?
Oh, Josh Reynolds touchdown off schedule play versus a 3-man rush.
You're absolutely right.
Are you kidding me?
You're unbelievable. Now we are going to go to This is Sean McVay's time in Washington.
Oh, no.
So we're bringing it back to 2015, Week 7. Bucks at Skins.
Yep.
2nd and 7 on the Tampa Bay 24. 58 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline. Set up the first down, and then how did that drive end?
Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
And what meme was that game?
You like that.
He's good. He's real good. Check out the brain on Sean.
You're amazing.
You like that? You like that?
Yeah. I mean, a couple things I notice about that, though. They're both memorable plays. I know that you like that play was not the touchdown play, but the one after it was, and it was a huge first down play, and the other one was a touchdown play. But, I mean, look, he's done it before. Do you believe he can recall? I would like for them to say, you know, 2013, meaningless game, 3rd and 7 from the 44-yard line, what did you call, and prove it that way. They're both, they chose two really memorable plays for Sean McVay. That doesn't bother you guys? That's not like average run-of-the-mill plays.
I know they're not average run-of-the-mill plays, but it's also still impressive that
it's impressive.
He can recall that quickly.
See, I don't think it's impressive because we weren't there for the entire thing. We don't know that they set him up ahead of time. We don't know any of this stuff.
You're such a conspiracy theorist. Look, I am sort of too, a little bit.
We could set it up here and make it look like you remember everything.
But, yeah. I mean, guys, do you believe in photographic memory, right? It's kind of been proven, hasn't it?
Yes. Right. There is definitely an aspect of it, and I would imagine that he has, sounds like he has some form of that.
Yeah.
To what degree, who knows? But it's, again, it's the quickness of his recall.
Mm-hmm.
And
calling out an old play from like 3 years ago when he probably doesn't run that same play anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
it's impressive.
It's impressive, yeah. Yes. But I agree with you. To put him to the real test, it would be trying to pull up some meaningless play that didn't get a first down, didn't, or, you know, was not a touchdown or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, but see that wouldn't be impressive. That's just like you're trying to stump the guy, trying to make the guy look bad. I mean, this.
No, that would be impressive if he was able to get it.
Well, true, but
they say Steve Spurrier could do that too. I haven't seen him demonstrate it, but I've heard a lot of people say he could call back a bunch of plays at least from, and he had a long career of a lot of play calling.
Oh, yes, he did. And we don't know how many times these guys have watched some of these plays and dissected some of these plays. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there could be that aspect of it as well. I just know for me, at 47 years old, I mean, there's times when I've been in the shower and I can't even remember if I just used shampoo on my hair, you know. And so for me to hear him be able to recall that type of detail, that's impressive.
Yeah, but this is different because, as you pointed out, the repetition of watching film, you used to be a coach. So when the time you were coaching, if they ask you then about that, would you have been able to remember a play?
Yes, and to a certain degree of detail, yes. I definitely
know it's a
could.
Little more difficult for basketball because it's constantly flowing, but I mean, at least football, it's a play at a time. But
you will admit, Lonzo, not everybody can do what he did, right? Everybody can do that.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm impressed with it. Again, I like if I'm going to believe that he can the way they write the story is he can remember every play, every call. I'm not sure that's been proven to me yet.
No,
that's not been proven yet.
That was to try to get a headline grab, right?
Yeah. Don't give me this one. You like that play. Because everybody's been talking about that play for 3 years. You know, so sure, he remembers that play. All right, don't use that as your example. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm asking. What did Dan Radakovich say about Clemson's decision to play tomorrow at 12 noon at Death Valley against Georgia Southern? We'll tell you about that coming up. If you want to jump in, last segment here in the huddle, 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line, 71307. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's our final segment here on the Thursday huddle. Now it feels like a Friday to me because there's a high school football broadcast tonight. I got to come to work tomorrow. I don't work on days after high school games.
Well, you do.
Is that
week.
In your contract?
I'm going to check my contract on that one.
You do this week, sir.
Yeah. Burns and Spartanburg tonight from Wofford College Gibbs Stadium. We will be on the air at 6:30, 7 o'clock kickoff. So that's a little earlier than normal. Normally, high school football games kick off at 7:30, but they're doing it a little early. It is a school night, after all. I guess the kids have to come back to school tomorrow, too.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk. My kids keep... Just hoping that this rain will come in and cancel here. Classes. Yes.
It's going to rain. We can't go to school.
And it didn't help when they heard that Furman had canceled classes today and tomorrow.
Man. Yeah, I mean, it's been... Yeah, that's that was interesting.
Wasn't that? Yes.
And South Carolina canceled like Tuesday for the rest of the week. Now they're in Columbia, and it's a little different. But
yeah, still. I understand that. You know, trying to help get buses down to help evacuate people from the coast. That makes sense.
I guess. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting weekend. Please be careful if you're going to be out and about, especially Sunday. That looks like the really wet day around here. Let's get Jimmy in here in our final segment in the huddle. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going well. What's up today?
All right. So when the regular season's over and the Braves win the East pennant, I would like you to, the day after they win it, go on the radio with that soundbite that you have of making fun of Braves fans when they thought that they were going to win the division, go to the playoffs, and they were 16-11. You remember that soundbite?
No, I don't. Remind me. What did I say?
You're saying you're making fun of the Braves fans that were thinking that they were going to win the pennant or go to the playoffs when they were 16-11.
Well, they were 16-11, Jimmy. That's not. I mean, that still was dumb. You got to admit that was dumb.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I made a prediction that early, but that's what they call a prediction.
That's true.
Yeah. That's why they call a prediction.
Listen, I'm sold.
And now, did you go to the University of South Carolina?
I did.
You're a negative Joe about the Braves and the Gamecocks, dude.
Jimmy,
you're not loyal.
I tell it like it is. I am not a homer, and I make no apologies for that. Don't you get tired of listening to homers all the time? Go to listen to the Clemson station. You get plenty of that.
It looks like the Braves are going to win the East there, guys, so that's why I want you to play that soundbite the day after. I want you to play it every commercial break that y'all have that day.
You got it, Jimmy.
Last I checked, you're not the program director. And here's the other thing. I don't listen to Greg, so I have no idea what he said.
He listens to another station.
Yeah, I'm doing my own thing.
He has the headphones on. Yeah. Lonzo has headphones on, but he's listening to something else.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate talking. The call. Let me get to this because I promised it to you. Dan Radakovich went on Sirius XM. It was a Mark Packer show today and explained why Clemson decided to go ahead and play against Georgia Southern. Moved the game up from 3:30 to noon, but decided they're the only game in South Carolina, college game in South Carolina on Saturday, when everybody else canceled or moved or whatever they needed to do. Here's what D-Rad said about that. Here in the upstate of South Carolina, we've been monitoring what effects it may have in Clemson. As you know, we moved the game from 3:30 to noon to make sure everybody would have ample time to get back to wherever their homestead is after the game. At this current time, whatever type of effects we have from the storm look to be late Saturday, early Sunday morning. That's the information we received. He said, he was asked, was there a time when he thought the game would not be played at Clemson? And he said, at this point, that time has not come forward. But he also said this, and this is today. Now, I can't say that in the next 24 hours, with things changing, we would not go in that direction. But with where we are and with all the information we have been able to gather through the weather services and emergency preparedness, the effects of that storm won't really hit the upstate Saturday afternoon. When it does, it looks like it's just going to be a rain event, a significant rain event, but that wouldn't happen until Sunday. He added that safety remains the top priority for everyone involved. He said, first and foremost, we want to make sure that safety is the top of our list for our fans, our student athletes, absolutely for all the citizens in the state of South Carolina. So we certainly hope that this storm does not do the damage that has been anticipated right now. As far as the fact that Georgia Southern and Clemson are not far apart, he says that has helped. That's been a positive as it relates to getting the decisions made as late in the week as possible. He said if there had been an airplane flight involved, that would be a whole different ball game. It also helped that Clemson has been in this situation in the past. Remember 2015 against Notre Dame, last year against Auburn and Georgia Tech. He said, we've had a number of times where we wouldn't maybe have had the full complement of folks out on the highway helping people get in. But our fan base has been fantastic. When we tell them patience is needed today because of these issues, you know that's going on around you. They heed that advice when we ask them to come early because of situations. They heed that advice. He said, we have the greatest fans in the country moving this game up. They all want to see the game. They want to see us play. They want to be on campus. But they understand we have their safety in mind. That's why we moved the game up. We want it to be a great environment, but we also want it to be a safe environment. All right, I can't argue with anything that Radakovich said there. The only question is, and I don't know the answer to this, what's the resources situation? How many people are going to be staffing a Clemson game, talking about first responders and those type of people, that could and would normally be down closer to the coast helping out? I don't know how to answer that, you know?
Yeah, and it seems like there's no indication. They're not announcing any type of change from a normal game.
Mm-hmm. You surprised he said that about in the next 24 hours, things could change? I think they've set a TV broadcast now with ESPNU. I think it's all in, pardon the expression, right now.
Oh, I think so, too. And I think he's accurate by saying that, yes, there's still a remote possibility that if something really drastic changed, that they would make a change themselves. But I think what we're seeing now, it doesn't look like it's going to be.
No, it's not a weather problem for Saturday. Not. We can see that.
Yes, exactly.
Right? It's not a weather problem. It's a resources question. That's all.
And so it depends on what happens, say, in the next 18 hours once it's making landfall. Does that change anything? And, again, based on what we're seeing so far, I don't think it's hitting more of the North Carolina coast right now than it is
South Carolina coast. Expected to turn, but the forecast that I've been seeing for here is Saturday's like 20% chance of rain, nothing. Sunday's going to be a soggy day, if the forecast holds true, right? Sunday's a wet day. And, you know, could be a dangerous day because there could be high winds.
That's right. And this was actually supposed to be family weekend at Clemson.
Was it?
Yes. And so I know there's already some activities that have been canceled for
Friday night. What's attendance Saturday? Give me your pick. How many people show up for this game?
I still think it's going to be close to...
Not 80.
No, I don't think so. I was going to say 55, 60,000.
Oh, yeah, easy. Yeah. They don't ever have less than that, do they?
I don't know. Maybe it was all the people that in the state that are coming from more of the coastal areas are...
Come over here and go
come
to
out
ball
here
game.
Anyway. Yeah, so why not go on to the game?
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to The Huddle. I will be back with you in just 2.5 hours for the pregame show for Burns Spartanburg football from Gibbs Stadium at Wofford College. And then we will join you again tomorrow. I know I feel like it should be Friday, but it's not. So we're here tomorrow at 1 o'clock to talk about all the high school football games on Thursday night and to continue to preview the college football coming up on the weekend. Of course, we got the Wake Forest-Boston College game tonight that we can review tomorrow as well. Straight Up with Sturge coming up next. For Lonzo in Richmond, I'm Greg McKinney. See you tomorrow, 1 o'clock in The Huddle.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.